Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be the kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light, enkindled in our hearts, may shine forth in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord
Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true God, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who was born not of the blood or of the will or the flesh, but of the will not of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we've seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he comes after me, ranks ahead of me, because he was before me." From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. That passage that Ben read is one of my very favorite passages in all of the Bible. The great Logos hymn, scholars call it. Scholars believe that it was originally set to music and tucked into the middle of that hymn, there is a short verse that I want to focus on with you today. It says, "In his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace." In his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. And John continues, "The law was given to us through Moses. Grace and truth came from Jesus Christ." What is this thing called grace? And what does it mean for you and for me? When I was newly ordained a priest, I had to speak in a Sunday school class at a Methodist church. I don't remember what I talked about at all, but after my talk, there was a little old man seated on a folding chair in the back of the room, and he raised his hand with a question. "Yes," I said, "you there, sir, in the back." "Thank you for your talk," he said, "but what I'm really interested is this. Can you tell me about grace?" Now, the truth was that I had no idea what grace was. I was a newly ordained New England priest, and I thought, like most New Englanders, that if I worked hard enough and prayed hard enough and gave enough, that my churches would grow, and it was all about attendance and giving and how everybody's spiritual lives were developing, as if you can measure that. And I was convinced that if I worked hard enough, that I would do God's work and please God. And I really had no concept of what grace was at all. In fact, I can't remember how I answered this man's question, but I know that it must have been a lot of baloney, whatever it was that I said. And in my head, what I was really thinking was, these darn Methodists. They're always coming up with these saccharine Christian words and then wanting to know what they mean. The truth was, I didn't know what grace meant. And after his question, as the months passed, I realized that it bothered me. It bothered me that he asked me what grace meant, but worse, it bothered me that I couldn't answer the question. And so I began to look more deeply at the scripture and at this word. Grace. I realized that St. Paul talks about grace all the time. In fact, the reading that you heard from the letter to the Galatians is all about that. And Paul begins most of his letters in this way: "Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He begins his letters to these new churches with the word grace. And then, of course, in the Gospel of John, it says that when the word came, it gave us grace upon grace. That somehow the law came through Moses, but grace came through Jesus. So grace is somehow different from the God that we understood in the Old Testament. And I began to realize that there really are two different ways that you can look at your life as a human being. Two different perspectives, you might say. The first perspective is this: that you and I, as Christians, are sinners, and that we must earn our way to heaven. We must earn our way to God. That if we practice the faith enough and come to church and pray well enough and give and serve the poor, that we'll eventually earn God's favor. And our culture certainly reinforces that perspective, because the truth about American culture, and it's not a bad system, is that you are supposed to earn your worth. That if you work hard enough and get good enough grades and go to a good school and get a good job, that you'll be successful. And when people ask you about your life, they ask you what you do or where you went to school. And that becomes who you are. It measures your worth, what you have accomplished, what you have done. But the problem is, we Christians have absorbed this American perspective, and we think that if we work hard enough at our faith, that that we'll be able to earn our way to God. But if you live according to this perspective, the perspective of a sinner trying to earn salvation, you constantly feel inadequate. You can never do enough. And if you mess up, well, you've got to work harder. This creates a sense of underlying anxiety, worry, busyness, because we can never do enough to merit God's love. And we try to please God, and we try to please everyone else, and we run ourselves ragged and never can do enough. The second perspective is that of grace. You could call it the grace perspective. According to the scripture, what happens to you when you're baptized is that you are made holy. You become, quite literally, a child of God, and grace is given to you. Grace is a quality that belongs to the divine, and it is gifted to you as a free gift. Now, free gifts are impossible for Americans to conceive of, right? What do you mean free? What am I supposed to do to earn it? But it was already given to you. You are holy and beloved. And if you can grasp that fact, then you no longer have to try so hard to be so good. Instead, you can relax and allow Christ to live in you and through you to manifest his grace to the world. And you pray not because you should or ought to or you feel guilty if you don't, but because Christ within you longs to be with God. And you serve the poor not because you have to earn anything, but because it flows out of you, and it is joyful and good. If you live by the first perspective and have to earn salvation, you're always on the defensive and always worried about who's mad and what did I do wrong. If you live by the grace perspective, you can be on the offensive. You can be creative. Start new things, because none of it matters. You are already adored by God. When I was in college, one Friday night, somebody on the administration hired a hypnotist to come. Have you ever seen a real hypnotist? It was wild. This guy called up four of my friends, and he hypnotized them and put them in this kind of trance-like state. And then he convinced them that when they woke up, they were going to really believe that they were animals. My friend Matthew was a kind of a short, really skinny guy. And when they woke up, Matthew was convinced he was a rooster. So he went running all around the auditorium, cock-a-doodle-dooing. It was so funny that I laughed so hard that the next day my side was sore. There was another girl who thought she was a cat, so she kept crawling in people's laps and purring and rubbing up against them. It was bizarre. Finally, he called the four of them back up to the stage, and he put them back in a trance and woke them up, and they didn't remember anything, which was almost funnier. So we took Matthew out to dinner, and when we told him what he had done, his face became as red as the rooster's head. What's that thing on the rooster's head? Comb. It was as red as the comb. You see, that hypnotist had convinced them to believe a lie about who they were. They forgot their true identity. Our culture can hypnotize you into believing a lie about your identity, into believing that your identity is caught up in what you produce or what you do. Our culture can hypnotize you into thinking you have to earn God's love, but it's not true. Your true identity is holy and good and loved. Another scholar puts it this way. Picture that you live in a kingdom long ago, and you live in this terrible poverty, and your mother had to be a prostitute, and you've grown up and you have to be a prostitute, and you sell yourself, but it's the only way you know to survive. And it's against the law, so you're always hiding from the law and worried about your safety. And then the king makes a declaration. All prostitutes are forgiven. They can start a new life, he says. And you're thankful. You're really thankful. But do you start a new life if that's all you know? That's the only way you know to survive? Are you really able to do that? But then picture that the king not only forgives all prostitutes, but he takes you as his wife. He marries you, and you become the wife of the king. Well, then, of course, you're going to give up prostitution, right? You have a new life. You have a new identity. You have become someone of worth, someone who is loved. You know what the scripture says? It says that you guys, as the church, you are the bride of Christ. That in your baptism, Jesus marries you. He takes you as his spouse. You are that loved. The scripture doesn't talk about you as servants or slaves, but as the spouse of Christ, the bride of Christ. That's how valuable you are. Grace just pours upon you, pours down upon you without you deserving it at all. It's already given. Just like that tapestry that we have in Tolliver Hall, this young artist just walked in and asked if he could display it. And it looks like a waterfall pouring down, and it's called grace. He came to us because he couldn't find a place with a ceiling high enough to display it. God just poured down grace upon us. I wish that I could go back to that little Methodist church. After almost 20 years, I think I finally could begin to answer that man's question, at least in part, if not in full. But even more importantly, I wish that I could have gone up to him after the class and thanked him for asking it. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world. We pray especially for the people of the Middle East. We pray for the church in Jerusalem. Pray for peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of Him. Pray that they may find and be found by Him. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. We remember especially Canon Betty Drake and Gary Keyes. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for your grace which has been given to us in the birth of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Merry Christmas! How long does Christmas last? Good job. Do you think you can sustain the celebration? Our culture loves to do these things in one day, which in biblical times would have been totally inadequate. They always celebrated for at least a good week or two. So keep it up. Keep up feasting. If you're new to the congregation and would like more information about the cathedral, if you raise your hand, the greeters can bring you a gift. But we're so glad you all are here today. I know we have some folks visiting from out of town. New Year's Eve, we have a great celebration here at 5 o'clock. The Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols will be here at the Cathedral on Wednesday, December 31st, and the choir just does an incredible job. So ring in the new year with us by praying and hearing beautiful music. We're getting ready for the baptism of our Lord when we traditionally do baptisms, which is January 11th. If you know of someone who needs to be baptized, adult or child, contact Sue Ingeman. She's there in the back. And we would love to do that for you. I'm getting excited about our Wednesday evening classes, which begin obviously not on New Year's Eve, but the next week. We have some new discussion classes that are going to be very rich. One of them is about science and faith, where they're going to talk about cosmology, quantum physics, and how it relates to your faith life. And we have some wonderful leaders of that class, including a retired Harvard professor who will be there to talk with you. Also, that's at 6, and Basic A is at 6, so if you're new or want to learn more about the faith, I teach that class. I love teaching it. So come, even if you're not new, but you just want to know why we do all this funny stuff up here and what everything means, come to that class. That's at 6. At 7 o'clock, we're going to offer a new discussion class on the Middle East. We have some professors from UNF who will be coming to talk about the roots of the conflict in the Middle East, the struggle of the three biblical faiths of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Also, Father Raja will be talking about his life and experience. So I hope you all can join us for that. That's at 7. You could really do science and then the Middle East, which would be a lot. Pledge envelopes are available in the back of the church. I know a lot of you are giving online now, and that's awesome because you don't have to worry about it, and the church loves it because your gifts come in regularly, so we don't have to panic in the summer and stuff. But some people love to have those envelopes and put them in the plate. If you're one of those people and you would like envelopes, we have little boxes with your name on it that you can pick up back there. If you come and you've pledged but you don't see your envelopes, make sure you talk to Sue. There she is in the back, and she'll make sure we get your name and address down. Remember that in the birth of Christ, God has rained down upon us grace upon grace.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us, who by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him, you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with John and all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let us go forth in the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.